Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm your host, Mike Buongiorno. Buongiorno. I'm here with Mr. Bill Gagliardi.
Hi.
Bill, how are you?
I am doing phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Well, you know what it is? What is it? Today's Friday?
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm 5 days away from getting on a plane.
Yeah.
In August and going down to sunny Florida.
Nice.
To walk around a Walt Disney park.
Incredible.
In August. And it's going to be hot.
It's going to be very hot.
But I'm very excited because people don't like the heat, but I like rides. So
what are you most looking forward to?
Ooh, that is a good question. Well, we're doing the park, 2 day park, 3 day cruise. We're doing a Disney cruise for the first time.
Nice.
We got all of our lightning lanes and stuff.
Yeah.
Because now is it lightning lane again or fast pass or what? I think it's lightning lanes now.
Yeah.
Well, we got the Tron light cycle. So like that's the newest one. I'm looking forward to going on there. But really the thing that I'm most excited about is that both of my boys are excited to go on Haunted Mansion. The last time we went,
nice.
They did not want to go. And we've talked so much about Haunted Mansion on this. And I think that that's why it's like, it's such a, like, what, formative event. Like you have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to go. And, like, I guess they were too scared of it, but I was like, the movies are scarier. You love the movies. Like, you've been on much more scarier things than Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a little spooky. It's... like, you got to do it. And it was so cute. Henry, my older son, was standing outside of the entrance of Haunted Mansion last time we were there asking people if it was scary on their way out. But now he's like, no, I'm going to... He's seven now, so, like, you know, it's a perfect age for him. But, yeah.
No, it is a perfect age for him.
We're trying to figure... like,
did you watch the... Did they see the movie?
They've seen every movie of Haunted Mansion.
So they're good.
Muppets,
so
Haunted Mansion, everything. They get it. Muppets is the best one, as it always is.
Yeah. So what date are you going?
We are going from... Well, I can't tell the people... Well, this is going to be... This is like that.
Can you tell us what resort you're at and the room, please? I only ask because August 15th.
No, we will already be.
Ah, darn. That's when fall starts in Disney.
Oh.
So August 15th is when
it's Halloween
stuff?
Halloween
time.
Oh, but we've been down there for the Halloween stuff.
Oh, okay.
And it was really cool. No, we're going to be at the Art of Animation.
Yeah, that's where I went last time.
And yeah, we're cheaping out this time because last time we had a castle view at the Contemporary.
Yeah.
You know, because the boys go to the Disney the first time, you got to do it the right way.
Yeah.
This time we're going like a little bit budget, but still like very convenient because we'll take the Skyliner to Hollywood Studios. Nice. We'll only do Magic Kingdom in Hollywood Studios. If we have time, I'll try to get to Epcot for some dinner or something. But I don't know. It's going to be an in and out trip for the parks and then
nice.
Taking the high seas. So very excited.
Are you excited for the Waxworks ride attraction?
I am because I want to fall into some exhibits and die.
Yeah.
I guess. But I'm more excited about the Waxworks 2 ride.
It's superior.
To be lost in subgenre. It's subgenre. It's not time. It's subgenre.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that. What time means in this movie. So today we are talking about another stellar recommendation from William here.
I only picked the good ones.
Waxwork 2, Lost in Time from 1992.
Mm.
This, now, let me tell you about this franchise. This is one of these franchises that I... am shocked I was like not aware of. You'd think, knowing me, that I've seen these and like them or at least know them.
But you've seen the box art at video stores.
The box for Waxworks 1, I do recognize.
Yes.
It's because it's the little person like being like, come on in, and it's weird shit. But other than that, I've never seen it. I had no idea what the vibe was. And it's my vibe. It's good. You wanted to do 2 because 2 was better. 2 is the one you cared more about.
Yes.
But I did watch them both in the last week. And I'm glad I did because I get the whole story. But 1 is not nearly as good as 2.
That's so strange that you say that, because like, just to catch up to it, I didn't have time to rewatch one. I saw one a long time, like two I saw first.
Sure.
And two, I've said the story before. My grandmother was a bartender. Uh-huh. And had, before even CD DVD, had like a bootleg guy that came into the store.
Sure.
And some of his bootlegs were so amazing. They were just, he would tape HBO movies on VHS, like just like home tape VCR movies. And there would be like six movies on these. And some of them would be like Bloodsport, Cyborg, Waxwork 2, The Gate Part 2.
The Gate Part 2.
Yeah. Which, again, another one where it's more off the walls than the first one,
yeah,
but much better, too.
Absolutely do a Gate Part 2 episode whenever you want to.
But so many of these, like, crazy, like, mostly canon entertainment movies.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
That, like, I would go to my grandmother's house, and I just, like, she's like, I'm not watching these tapes. And
wow.
And they were so good to me, you know, because I didn't have cable or anything. So Waxworks 2 was one of them. I watched that so much. Never watched Waxwork 1 until, like, more recently.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, this one. This, like, that one's cool.
Inferior.
And it, like, has, like, it's more of a storyline, but
it's more of a movie. It more makes sense. Whereas Waxwork 2 is very much a sequel.
Yes, and it's just a collection of vignettes, if anything.
And it does the idea better than one, but also makes less sense than one.
Yeah, but like, you kind of get like a little lore, though. Like,
well, as you've said to me through text, it kind of gives you a last time on Waxworks.
Yes.
Which movies used to do that. People, pre-streaming, like, things used to do that. Like, Superman 2 begins with, like, a montage of Superman 1. Mm-hmm. That's like, hey, for those of you who don't know or don't own VHS players or Betamax players,
this was... Well, they were expensive back
previously
then.
Previously on Superman. This is what happened. This is catch you up.
Same thing with... Well, I mean, I think Evil Dead did it the best because they just summed up the whole first movie, took out characters and everything. Like, they're like, really gave you the Cliff's Notes of Evil Dead 1 in the first 20 minutes of Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead, by the way, has a real lawsuit on their hands with this movie.
Oh, my God.
And they've got Bruce Campbell in it.
And yeah, I think that was the deal. Sam Raimi was just like, I just put my boy in it.
Yeah, and you can steal a lot of our bits.
Let me tell you this, too. This movie, for me, predates my Bruce Campbell obsession era.
Okay.
Where I watched it so much, became obsessed with Bruce Campbell, as all 14-year-old males do.
Sure, yeah. Yes.
And then was like, oh, shit, Bruce Campbell is in this movie?
Yeah.
And boy, what a part does he play, too.
Yeah, oh, he's great.
Yeah.
I guess we should give the people a little bit of what one is.
Okay, yeah.
So
it's Mario 64, pretty much.
And
which is great.
Yeah. It is Mario 64. It's a horror comedy. It stars Zach Galligan.
From right? Billy Peltzer from Gremlins. And then that's it.
This is a loving show. This is a show about love. This is a show where we're not mean. But I just don't think he's a leading man.
No.
I just don't think he's got that thing, whatever that thing is. And certainly I don't have it. You know,
How many movies did you make, Mike?
Zero.
How many Mogwais have you fed after midnight?
Not fucking one. But he just supposedly, they've said this a million times on the internet, but supposedly we're getting closer to making Gremlins 3. So,
it's in the movie.
So he, in the first movie, he's playing like, he's like a little rich boy.
Mm.
And it's very like, I think, supposed to be making fun of like Less Than Zero. Cause like first of all, they're supposed to be college, yet they act like high schoolers and like they have lockers and hang out on bleachers. And it's like, you're college and smoke in every scene.
Yeah.
And like, it's weird stuff in that. But anyway, there's a wax museum that magically shows up. It's run by David Werner,
who's the TGRI guy from TCRI from Turtles 2.
Yeah.
Crazy cool voice though. Hello.
Yeah. And he invites the two female characters to come to the Waxwork for a special after midnight showing. So they go, the whole gang goes, and they open it up, and it's a wax museum, and there are these different tableaus. So there's like one, but they're all violent. So one's like a werewolf killing a person, and one is like, you know, I can't remember now. Like, it's all like violent things.
Yes.
And
the mummy of Dracula. Right. Yeah, yeah. Like,
and if you're an asshole enough to like lean into it or like step into it.
Well, isn't there something like it draws you in?
Yeah, that's true. It like draws you in. When you step into it, you like go through a portal, which is a cool like effect. It's like this blue like portal that you go through, and then you're in that scene, and then that scene's real. So like the first one you see is like the werewolf one. The guy goes into it, and then there's like a real werewolf.
Yeah.
And so it's these scenes. In the first one, there's a werewolf one. There is a vampire one, which is pretty cool. There's a Marquis de Sade one, which is weird because
he's the only non-fictional character.
But also, like, as far as we know, he was a violent person, but. And he wrote about sexual assault and things. But as far as we know, he wasn't a murderer. But the way he's depicted in Waxwork 1 is like a killer.
Right.
But that's a theme in all of Waxwork, which is they completely don't understand the thing that they're doing.
And Marquis de Sade is played by Anthony Hitchcock, right?
Like he's, is he?
He's played by the actor, the director.
As Jen put it this week, it's as if his name, he wants you to read it fast and think it's Hitchcock.
Yes.
You
got to lean into that X.
Yeah, yeah. Hitchcocksian is what he was hoping people would say. Zach Galligan has like an uncle who's like an adventurer, and like he and his father were like trying to stop evil, and evil is trying to use the wax figures, something, something, something.
Sir Wilford.
Yeah, let's burn down the waxworks.
Oh, yeah, all the retirees.
Yeah, and then that's how it ends. Actually, the original script for the first movie was it ended with them going through time, and then they said we can't do that, so they cut that out, and they made it just like the melee that it is in the first movie.
Right.
And then they expanded it into this movie. So the second movie is, it begins with, we just had the fire, and one of the, I forget whose hand it was, but
it was the zombie's hand. There's a zombie in the Night of the Living Dead. Well,
oh, right, thing, there's a Night of the Living Dead tableau.
I wish we talked about this a couple of months ago, because you did the Universal Monsters last Halloween, and this is pretty much a great tie-in to Universal Monsters, except for, like, there's a lot of Universal Monsters, and then there's also the Romero zombies as well.
It's Night of the Living Dead.
It is Night of the Living Dead,
Because it's black and white as well.
Yes. But, yeah, so like you were saying, like, a hand, at the climax of the movie, a lot of these wax figures come out of their tableaus, and that's where the melee happens, but
we're fighting.
Yes, everything gets destroyed except for a sentient hand,
right? Which follows them home. Well, like they get into a taxi and it like jumps on the taxi, whatever. And Sarah is the main girl. She's the only other person who lived. Mark, is his name Mark?
Yeah, it's Mark and Sarah. Yes,
Mark and Sarah are Zach Galligan.
Yes,
and in part one, she's played by someone else.
She's played by Deborah. Deborah Foreman, who was dating Anthony Hitchcock at the time. At the time, but then they broke up. So then it was replaced with Monica Schneer.
Okay.
Who was only in like Beastmaster, the series. I think. I don't know. She's got like a very wood quality.
She looks like Daryl Hannah.
She does.
I wrote this down. Ready? More like Daryl Hannah.
That's actually natural.
Worth it. No. Oh, well, here's the weird thing. So, going back to part one, in the Marquis de Sade one, she gets really into BDSM. She's into it.
Well, like she's getting tickled?
No, she's getting whipped.
Oh, she's getting whipped. Like, oh, no, the other person's getting...
Well, there's a... Okay, so there's a weird thing that makes more sense in the second movie, which is everyone else seems to, like, be sucked into the reality they're in, except for Mark. Mark is right. Like, oh, I'm in a thing. And we find out later there's he's a reason like for
the
that.
Chosen one or whatever.
But yeah, so Sarah, in part, at the end of part one, is like, like, she doesn't want to leave the Marquis de Sade. She just wants to be whipped and come. And so.
Cool.
And then, so we're right after that.
Yeah.
And then she goes home and her stepdad is Red the Bum.
Yeah, from Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. That's, by the way, his
he's
title.
Playing the exact. Oh, he's playing the title as stepfather.
Yeah, yeah. And she calls him stepfather.
Yeah.
Because they're also doing, in part two, there is a fairy tale theme going on.
It's very
on.
Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah, it begins with a quote from Through the Looking Glass. Yeah. Classic movies begin with epigraphs. Mm. You know that.
But yes, this is Red the Bump. Like, it is
he's
him.
Red
like,
the Bump.
It's the actor. It's the character. Yeah. It's like he married a rich woman who died and then like squandered all the money. Yeah. And now they just live in an apartment and he's just still drunk.
Yeah.
But he's housed.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's good.
So it's a step up for Red the Bum.
But before we get there, I'm
please,
sorry.
Go like, ahead. Go.
When they get into the taxi, right? Like,
yeah.
I want you to compare the trauma. Like, here they are, the trauma bonding in the taxi, right?
Yeah.
Think about the ending of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, yeah.
And think of, like, you know.
Yeah.
Equal type of things have happened versus, like, you know, supernatural trauma versus, you know, realistic trauma. But still, like, there's still a lot of murder and just, like, maiming happening, right?
Yes.
And they're really cool about it, where in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you have somebody screaming hysterically.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, yeah, we just can't talk about this.
Yeah. And okay. She's also just, like, really found her sexuality.
Yeah.
She's just found what rings her bell. Because in part one, she's, like, the innocent. She's, I guess, like, it's not a slasher, but it's...
She's the final girl.
She's kind of a final girl. Because there's the bad girl who dies in the vampire thing.
Yeah.
And then she's the good one who then, like, I guess gets liberated by the Marquis de Sade. And...
That's how you start, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Nice.
And then, and so in this one, she's like weirdly quiet, like she's disturbed by whatever. It's weird. Both of their characters change because he's kind of an annoying, like, preppy boy in part one, and then they kind of drop that in this. He's just sort of a normal guy.
He listened to a Pearl Jam record in the second movie.
Yeah. The stepfather. She goes home after this harrowing part one. And the stepfather... By the way, this is very 80s. Don't you love movies that begin exactly where the last movie ended?
Yes, absolutely.
There's something about that. And we don't do that anymore.
No.
We really don't.
No.
You know what? The Last Jedi did it, and I appreciated it.
Last Jedi did do it.
It's the only Star Wars movie that does it. Yeah, so she goes home, and the hand has followed her. And this is where I say... Evil Dead 2 is
Sam
being
Raimi
ripped off like crazy.
Money.
The hand is running around. She's wrestling with the hand. Doing good physical stuff.
Yeah.
Like there's hand bits. The hand is throwing. The hand.
Oh, hot dog buns.
Yeah.
Like just like fighting her with hot dog buns.
Well,
like,
first mustard all over her face. Yeah. And then there's a cup with a label on it that says onions. An open cup. Why make the label? She throws it in her face, and then she starts throwing buns in her face. And in the score, you hear a little bit of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Hilarious.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
That was so dumb.
But it's running around. It takes a hammer and
bludgeons
the stepdad. And then she's like, you said it was over, Mark. And
I mean, like, couldn't she just, like, kick it out of the way or something? Like, they really let this hand... Do whatever.
The fact that this hand murders.
She should be tried for murder because, like, she kind of let it happen.
Yeah. And the thing that really surprised me is she puts it down a
garbage disposal,
and it doesn't give her the finger. I was like, oh, this is where it gives it the finger, which is what happens in Evil Dead, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
But the geyser of blood, again, like that was taken right
so
from Evil,
Evil
Dead 1,
Dead.
Where
so
like,
Evil
the entire
Dead.
Room filled with it from like the smallest thing.
The second one is way more, these are my influences.
Yeah.
And also there's like some weird cameos we got to talk about too.
Oh, yeah.
So she's like, haha, Mark, you said it was over. And then title card, Waxwork 2. And she's then on trial for murder, which is wild. I've never seen any, it's so weird in a horror movie or whatever this is to be like, yeah, and now she's on trial for, and her defense, her, well, you see her lawyer, and the lawyer's like, I told her not to go with the hand defense. And it's like, what? So she tried to explain the truth to the jury, and they're like, there's no such thing as wax zombies and all the nonsense you're saying.
Rightfully so.
And so they're going to, she's found guilty, right?
Yeah.
Or is the case not, or is it not
over
yet?
It's not over yet.
It's not over yet. So she goes home, but it looks bad for her.
Yeah, but the other thing is, like, they, how much time has passed since that court date, right? Because, mm-hmm. like, it's, court, to go to trial, especially for murder, like, we've already, like, she's already been arrested and processed.
Yeah.
She's, there's already been a grand jury.
Yeah.
There's already been a jury selection. Like, did we hear the defense yet, or did we just hear the prosecution? So, yeah. Like, we're talking minimum months. I think somewhere I heard that it's been 4 years. So it's like, you just sat on your ass that whole time, like, and did not go to Sir Wilfred's house yet?
Right.
Like, you waited until this moment to do it?
There's a weird line.
I mean, it is a swift and, right to a swift trial. So this could have been in a week.
Yeah. I get the feeling that unrealistically, it is supposed to be very soon after.
You know,
just given their demeanors.
Yeah.
But so they go to Sir Wilfred's house. That's godfather from the first movie.
Yes.
The weird old adventurer guy.
He's like, I fought with your grandfather and stuff.
Yeah. But he says, she goes, why are we here? And he's like, oh, maybe it'll help us. This is the one room we haven't gone into. So they have gone through Sir Wilfred's mansion looking for stuff. They just didn't go into this one room, which is a shame, Bill, because this is exactly the room they're supposed to go into.
It's exactly the
because
room.
Because there's a 8mm projector with a film on it.
Yep.
And Sir William is talking directly to them, even both of them. I don't know if it's supposed to be magic or it's supposed to be a joke. I don't get why he's like, oh, Mark and Sarah, how are you? How are you two doing? Like, is that a bit or is that like his magic?
Well,
the rules in these movies are very loose.
He does come back later, too.
That makes zero sense.
Well,
The rules in this movie are just bananas.
Mike, it's an 80s. I mean, this is 1982, but there are no
this
rules.
Is an 80s movie for
this,
sure.
This is another movie written by cocaine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the video? What does the little film tell them?
He just says to follow Alice through the looking glass or something. And like, we have this really cool Alice in Wonderland chess set.
Yes.
She picks up Alice and one of the chess pieces or one of
the boxes,
squares,
whatever. Yeah.
Moves up and it opens a door through the mirror.
You're right.
And then it's a storage room that has.
It's not the other world.
No,
it's just
not
a storage room.
It's a storage room. But it has the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
It has Van Helsing's stake, the Jason ski mask.
Jason Voorhees mask.
Yes.
Which,
go ahead.
In part one, instead of like maybe the werewolf, whatever, he wanted to do Jason. And they're like, well, you don't have the rights to do that. So that's sort of a nod to something he wanted to do. He wanted one to be more like two is.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
Jason Voorhees he just wanted to remake as many movies as possible.
It's
much.
Really, you know what this movie reminds me a lot of? Stay Tuned.
Yes.
Starring John Ritter.
Why are there so many movies like this?
I don't know. You know why? Because meta was new. And postmodernism was kind of coming to movie. More of us were seeing movies because of VHS. So we all had a greater knowledge of things that they would be parodying. I think this is the sort of beginning of that time. So the idea, which now seems like corny to us, but the idea of like, oh, they go into different movies and shows, I think is appealing. Now, we are talking about Waxwork 2 and Stay Tuned. Two movies that did not set the world ablaze. They're remaking Stay Tuned, by the way.
What?
With Josh Gad and...
why not just Jason Ritter?
I know, right? Josh Gad and the other one from Book of Mormon.
Andrew Reynolds?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Stay Tuned, where Jeffrey Jones plays the devil.
Yes.
Which is fine.
I just remember Dwayne's World. It's the demon
version.
Oh,
it's so stupid. It's a lot like that. It's a lot like, here's excuses for parodies. And two really goes far with that.
But yeah, so this storage thing looks like a Spirit Halloween took over Sir Wilfred's apartment.
Yeah, and they find like a...
Cartagrian time door opener.
Thank you. It basically looks like a little clock thing.
Yes. Or like a disc.
Or like
ring.
A compass. Yeah.
It's a compass, pretty much. Because it, I guess it points in a direction of where the time door is.
But let's talk about that word time. Because the conceit that we're told from the title as well is that this will let them jump through time.
Time.
Meaning we'll see, like Doctor Who, we will go and see like events that happened. We'll meet George Washington.
Yes.
It'll be like Bill and Ted, right?
Yeah.
But that is not what happens.
No, that's not it.
What happens, and it's not like they run out of ideas and start to go to fiction. They immediately, the first place he goes is Frankenstein.
Yeah.
They immediately are just going through fictional narratives.
Yes.
But they keep talking about it like it's time. Like Frankenstein.
Well, it's somebody's timeline.
I suppose, but that's not time.
Mm.
Like, the first place they go is Frankenstein. And Sarah is Elizabeth.
Yes.
And Mark is...
Henry.
Henry, the best friend of Victor. And it's Frankenstein. And she... doesn't have the ability that he does, at least not yet. So she like believes that she's Elizabeth.
Yes.
And he immediately is like, knows who he is. And he's like, oh, what's going on in this world? Whatever.
And the rules changed a little bit because in Waxwork 1, like it's the like very, I don't believe in you type of thing. So like you can't get hurt.
Yes.
Where this, it's a, like, I guess that was kind of like the borrowed source where this is the true source. Like you're actually in the true dimension.
Right. Because she makes a point. Where she's like, that doesn't look like the same door from the waxwork.
Right.
The same portal. So it is something different. Something.
Well, I got like a little theory, and I guess I could talk about it now.
Sure.
Where I think that this is a... Well, Sir Wilfred says it later that this is the... this is God's and the Devil's Nintendo game, pretty much. Where it's... Oh, God. What's the name of it? Cartagrian?
Yeah, it's a different universe entirely.
Cartagria, which is this dimension of good and evil, and it's where good and evil lie in balance.
Yeah.
So why it's Frankenstein, why in Waxwork it's all these other things that actually exist in real life. And I think that since it is good and evil, it's evil's muses, meaning that like these are the things that like push through our world people... Well, actually... There's a Waxwork comic that I only heard about where it had this exact theory. I was like, wow, my theory is the exact same thing, where it gives people these dreams, like kind of like Sandman.
Yes.
Where it's like it gives people these dreams to create Jason, to create Psycho and stuff. So it's like these like exist in the collective unconsciousness. Or collective consciousness.
House of Waxwork, is that it?
Maybe. I don't know.
Excuse me, I'm on Amazon buying this. fuck. Okay. Yes. I think that is correct.
I'm eating it halfway, but
you're right. No, you're making sense of something that there's dots that are not connected, but I think they're getting at what you're getting at. It's just weird that they use the word time at all.
Yeah.
And they continue to use it.
Where the waxwork was like actually like a hub for this.
Yeah.
But like not as strong as like actually going into the actual source, which
Right. There's also a thing that I think is happening where is the first one is a horror comedy.
Yeah.
And this is like a horror adventure.
Yes.
And the way it ends really seems to set up like it's going to be like adventure movies.
Yeah.
Like that's what he wanted to continue doing. Sadly. There was comics, I now know.
Sadly, he went off to do Hellraiser 3 and Warlock. Yeah.
Warlock 2.
Warlock 2.
He's the king of sequels.
But I love Hellraiser 3. It was my first Hellraiser. It's the one I wasn't that scared of. It was with the CD Cenobite.
I've never seen 3.
Oh, it had it.
The CD player. Yeah.
Because they did, like, all the Cenobites died in part 2.
Yeah.
Because of the doctor from the insane asylum. So, like, now he has the guy with the CD player. He's got the guy with the camera eye.
Oh, right. Yeah. I've never seen, actually, it's stupid. I've only seen 1 and 2.
Those are the only ones that count.
We
should do a Hellraiser episode.
I'm for it. So
Cartagrian time door.
Not only do they go to like fictional stories,
yes.
They get them wrong.
Yeah.
Like Frankenstein, in almost every version of Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein is like sympathetic and like a tragic figure. In this, he's an evil guy who's using the monster like as a slave to hurt people.
Yeah.
Like none of this is right. Like no, none of this no. isn't Frankenstein. This isn't the story of Frankenstein.
Slop with maggots and yeah. stuff. Which is the way to win him over. Just give him food.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Mark goes down into the basement and he finds the monster. And I think the monster makeup's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Which
one of the only times that the monster makeup's actually good in this movie.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, he oh, this is again, this is so stupid. So he finds Frankenstein's diary that explains how he could recreate life.
I love that that's his logic of like this is going to be the thing that's going to prove right, Sarah. Right. It's like it's a handwritten book. Like right.
Oh, right, right. Well, we didn't say that the reason they decide to go on this adventure is to find proof that the hand story is true and to get her off of her murder beef.
Right.
Right? She'll be found innocent if we can show the jury that either magic exists or life can be, dead bodies can be reanimated right. specifically because of the hand thing. So he's like, we have Frankenstein's. And it's like, don't you live in a world where there is, like, I don't know. So he's like, we have Frankenstein's book. Mm. They're talking like Frankenstein's a real person.
Right.
And we'll show the, like, that's the thing. We'll show the book.
Well, if Frankenstein exists in that world, then shouldn't it be common knowledge that reanimated dead yeah, flesh is a thing?
That can happen. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Elvis would still be alive.
That's right.
Come on, man.
Just bring
Red the Drunk back to life then, if that's the case.
Right, exactly.
Then undo all this.
Right. If it truly was a time thing, you could go back in time and like stop stuff from happening.
Just don't walk into the waxwork, dummy. Yeah.
Okay, so.
This is stupid.
After.
Stop the show. It's dumb.
And Zach Galligan is playing it kind of. I don't know. It's kind of a mix between like Ash from Evil Dead and like Brendan Fraser from The Mummy.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to be like a funny, goofy action guy
yeah.
thing. And it's not totally working.
Well, the slapstick in this is really like the way that Victor Frankenstein dies.
It's wild.
Yeah.
That's pretty. I actually like that stuff.
Like the teeth popping out and then the very comical brain flying out.
Yeah.
And he runs into it to catch it.
Yeah. And maybe I'm wrong. Was there not a shot like that in Evil Dead 2 with like the eye? That goes into the woman's mouth?
Yes. Nobi. Henrietta Nobi.
Yeah.
Gets crushed by the door and the eye pops out into. I forget.
Yeah. So now they go into another Body door, jail. And they go into two different doors or something because they end up at two different movies. She's an alien.
She's an alien. Well, alien or aliens. Predator,
yeah.
Aliens slash predator because that yeah. is like a xenomorph predator
yeah.
hybrid.
And he's in, I think, The Haunting of Hill House.
Haunting, yeah. It's a very Vincent Price, but like they're also.
It's black and white.
It's black and white. There's like also like kind of a Ghostbusters thing. Like they're trying to prove that ghosts exist. Yeah. It's the haunt.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
A House on Haunted Hill. One of those.
I always confuse them.
Yeah.
It's a lot like The Haunting. I think the character even has the same name. The female character. The one played by Diana Troy from.
Marina Sirtis.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you got Marina Sirtis.
So they're in two different movies.
Yes. And she's
Ripley in yes. Alien. And
also,
she doesn't know it, though, so she's just... So it's just Alien for a little while.
Yeah.
But, like, a parody enough, but also it's not making jokes.
Mm.
So it's just, like, cosplaying as a different movie.
Yeah. Well, and then also up there is Maxwell Caulfield from Grease 2.
Yes.
He's like the guy in the tank top that's like injured.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, but I think he's trying to be like Hicks from yes. Aliens. Like yes. he's got that vibe of, who is that? Paxton. Bill Paxton?
No, or Bill Pullman. No, Bill Paxton. It's Bill Paxton, sorry.
Bill Paxton is Aliens, yeah.
Oh, the game over, man.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like he's kind of got that going on.
And the wig budget was like $25.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so we got Mark down in the House of Haunted Hill. That's where Bruce Campbell is.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell's like a scientist who's trying to like prove ghosts or something.
He has a very what's his name from Rocky Horror. He has like kind of that energy.
Brad Majors.
Brad Majors. You know, 'cause I guess the glasses and stuff.
Yeah. There's a shot completely stolen from The Shining, where like blood comes through a door. Yes. But it's cool because it's the blood is red and everything else is black and white.
Yeah,
that's cool.
They did that a couple of times. Like the ghost was in color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like the stuff with like Bruce Campbell. He's like tied up, and his like chest, like there's like a bird like pecking at his, like has ripped the skin off his chest, and is like pecking at his like ribs. And then, and like,
he's totally cool about it, too.
Yeah, it's so weird.
They throw vinegar on it by accident. Yeah. They throw salt on the wounds by accident. Yeah. And he's just, like, cross-eyed like, and stuff. It's so goofy.
He's like, it's all right. It's getting numb. He falls at one point because they pull the wrong rope, and he just gets, like, little rocks and stuff in between his ribs. It's very weird.
That little ghost is, like, super bossy. It's like, go to the game.
Yeah.
So stop yelling at me.
Yeah. It's weird when this movie... asks you to buy into the plots in the little stories. Because, like, Mark is like, oh, we have to, like, do this or whatever.
Oh, you
like,
have to recite the...
Yeah.
The rites.
Yeah, right.
And he reads it upside down, so he's, like, reading a foreign language.
I genuinely laughed at that. Funny. That was... Mark, it's upside down. But you know what? To your point, I forgot this. At one point in the Frankenstein scene, he says to her... Oh, you know, if you don't believe it, nothing will hurt you. And then Frankenstein hits him and he feels it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a joke or if that's him actually changing the rules or saying the rules are different where they are. The
rules are different, yeah. But however, in this one, more so, like if you buy into it, like, because like every time he has to like go up to Sarah and be like, Sarah, you're Sarah. He's like, oh, right, yeah. Where he's like kind of immune to that.
Right, he's but, always.
Like, he also does, like you said, he also does play into it too. Right.
Well, that's the thing. He's a time warrior as he's like a born, he's a natural time warrior as we learn.
Yes,
of course,
time, yes.
Remember black and white time? And time.
Wasn't it weird when everything changed to color?
Yeah.
We all said to our parents.
I had another joke. The joke I had about Daryl Hannah. She also looks like Liv Tyler, more like dead Tyler. Yeah. Folks,
we're back in space with her.
Yeah, it's hard to describe this stuff because almost I'm like stuff happens but nothing happens. Yeah, like it's just like none of it's all pointless. It's just aliens. They probably blew a lot of the budget on this nonsense.
Yeah, but like then the gut buster scene where it comes from the mouth, like that whole thing, like it looks so bad, but it also looks really good because like it's a gut buster scene from the mouth and it turns into a face hugger.
Yes.
But like then like
and then tries to go into her face or whatever.
Yeah.
Mark comes in and saves her.
And says he saw the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, so there's things that we missed.
Yeah.
There's adventures that we missed in the interim. They get another door out, and that leads us to where we spend the rest of the movie, which is the Princess Bride?
Or Zelda? Like, the whole scene with David Carradine where he gives him the sword is the...
That's Zelda.
It is. And then he disappears, like what happens when you take the sword.
But there's a character that's a lot like the Six-Fingered Man.
Yes.
And the plot is a lot like Princess Bride, yes. I think. But it's not exactly Princess
Bride. No, it's like that. It's Robin Hood. It's, what else? Willow, kind
of. Yeah. This is where like he really was like, this is our adventure movie. So you brought up, there's a cameo from
David Carradine. Who's actually his grandfather.
Whose?
Well, it's Mark's grandfather. That's.
I thought you meant the actor.
No.
Yes, he's supposed to be Mark's grandfather because we find out later, Sir Wilfred comes back as, imagine listening to this podcast and you haven't seen any of these.
This is all over the place. I am so aware that like, weren't they just talking about Frankenstein?
We're all over the place talking about a movie that itself is very,
but this is in real time together. Like I think,
we find out Sir Wilfred comes back later as a crow and he's like, they let us come back to help you. Who's they?
I got to go back to the name because that's who it is. It's the, oh God.
Is it God? Because he says God and the devil
are fighting. It's the Cartagians.
But he does say like God and the devil are fighting.
It's like Lost. Did you ever watch the last season of Lost?
No, I watched no seasons of Lost.
It's the good and evil. It's the yin and yang. Remember? It's like, it's that.
Okay.
It's them.
So he's the grandfather, Dean Carradine. That's one cameo. The other cameo comes later.
Blink and you miss it.
Yeah, right. So yeah, but you're, I thought that too. When he's like, take this sword, it's exactly Zelda.
Well, speaking of that,
and they make the Nintendo reference.
So they say that it's got, yeah, got his Nintendo game. And also, I may have just, maybe I, you know, missaw this, but when Sir Wilfred as the Raven is leaving, and he quotes the Raven, no, the more. Window is a Triforce.
Really?
Look at it again. The window's a Triforce. Not a triangle, it's a Triforce.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Which is fun to have like that much video game reference when the when like in that
1992.
Genre, like it's only like 7 years old at that
yeah.
point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know how much I love Zelda. Look, listen to the Zelda episode, everyone.
Yes. All right, so fuck. All right. So,
yeah, we're in this medieval times thing.
Yeah. So like there's,
it's the Pure Mood soundtrack.
What is it?
Like the Pure Mood soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh
like,
yeah. Boop. Yeah. 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 It's very weird.
Like the drums with the like choir sounds. But like
weirdly
and stuff.
Sexual.
Yeah.
There's
it's
a
so 90s.
Yeah. Well, I got to say every place looks like a corner of, Spirit Halloween. Every no matter where you are, the floor is just black with straw on it.
Yeah.
All the Party City gave all the wigs and costumes.
Yes.
The wig that Mark is in the whole end of the movie, the long, is just horrible. It's I mean, they probably didn't have a lot of money and they tried to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So kudos to them for trying to do a ton of crazy things with probably not a lot.
Why does he have a proper wardrobe in every single vignette except for this one where he does like have a band t-shirt under his like medieval garb?
Right. That's interesting.
Like every time
maybe he always has his clothes on under the clothes.
Oh, that must get really hot.
Because that is the shirt he's wearing in the real world when he goes in. So that's his shirt. Okay.
So, yeah.
So he's getting better at being an adventurer. Like, he's, like, coming into his own. Like, he likes getting mixed in and saving the day.
He's
becoming like Doctor Who, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got that bitchin' halberd sword, you know?
Yeah.
We meet the other androgynous George from a 90s movie, other than The Wedding Singer.
Yes.
Great character.
Yeah.
He's a musician. He was in a couple of bands in the 80s.
Oh, really?
I forget his name, yeah. But yeah, he is the second hand to the usurper of the throne, whose like name is something like Serpius or Severus. It's something like Harry Pottery.
Oh, what's
Scarabus.
His? Scarabus. Right. Yeah. So, he's like a magician.
Yes.
And he turns people into animal things.
Yeah. It's kind of like Animorphs, that book Animorphs.
Yeah. Like he turns that woman into like
a panther woman.
Yeah. It's very weird.
Yeah.
And
kind of sexy. No.
No. No. No. The weird music kind of makes everything sexy. It's kind of like a silhouette. Yeah, his plan.
Wait, Arna Koflo makes is sexy too.
his plan is he's going to use the magician is going to use his magical abilities. First of all, he's going to poison the king.
Well, first he's going to marry his sister, who is Sarah now, off to the king.
Right.
Poison the king.
Use his magic to turn himself into a king lookalike.
To fuck his sister.
Right.
Right, to keep the line pure.
Right, right. He does like, want to fuck his sister.
Yes.
For sure.
He's very obsessed with making sure that his sister's still a virgin. So, yeah, like, here you are. You're time traveling, and then you end up in a place where you get digitally raped by an old woman?
Yes.
Like, come on.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, that whole scene is weird, where he's like, check to see she's pure. Then you see a woman coming in, like wiping her hands.
Like, yeah, she's still good. A virgin.
It's like, what movie the fuck are we watching? What's weird is you get the feeling the director's like, this is it, guys. This is going to be, this is going to blow the fuck up. Zach, pack your bags. You're going to Hollywood. You're about to be the next star. This is it for all of us. Fuck. Okay, so are there zombies in this? Oh, no. Not yet. Yeah, so that's the plan. They thwart it.
Yeah.
Mark is at some point like putting like a man in the iron mask thing. And that's when the Raven comes and tells him like, you're a time warrior and you should do this. And
it's a very Deus Ex Machina thing.
Yeah. And he's kind of like, but what about Sarah? And he's like, well, Sarah should go back to her regular life or whatever. So now
he's like, okay, sure.
Yeah. Like, he's like, he wants to do this. He wants to jump through time over and over again and get into adventures or whatever.
I mean, I would. It was cool.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the whole reason why I told you to watch this movie, because of like, the coolest part hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. The end is great.
Yeah. We're coming up close to it, because like, even though this is the longest part, there's really not much going on. Right. It's really just like a usurping of a throne thing. There's
he's thrown in the dungeon. He gets out of the dungeon. You know, he works as, you know, he thwarts the plan because he finds where the real king is.
Did you see the Donald Trump scene in it?
No.
Well, somebody gets grabbed by the pussy.
Oh, right, right. That's true.
During, like, when the jester's in everybody's face, like, somebody just...
Well, what's funny is they treat the real king like he's a good guy, but he's still going to marry, like, someone 40 years younger than him.
Yeah.
It's bad that the magician
guy... And it's King Arthur? They say, like, he's credited as King Arthur.
Really?
Yeah, in that Lost in Time song.
Oh, there's a lot of ideas going on. We are getting too far ahead of ourselves. There's a lot going on. There's
so much going on.
There's a big sword fight.
It might be the perfect early 90s movie, actually, if you think about it.
It's so early 90s and late 80s. So there's a sword fight between...
Yeah, the climax.
Yeah, and this is when, like, there are doors opening and they're going through all sorts of things. They go through Jack the Ripper... They go through Nosferatu.
But who's the victim in Nosferatu, Mike?
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore is in this movie.
For some reason.
Blinking you miss, but she is there.
Doesn't say anything.
Doesn't say, well, because Nosferatu is a silent movie.
Yeah. And they drag, this felt very Bill and Ted, actually. They drag Jack the Ripper into it. So Nosferatu kills Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
So there's that. They do find... Oh, they...
The Dawn of the Dead
one. Dawn of the Dead.
But like Tony Montana in Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. It's Dawn of the Dead.
Yes. With like sword fighting, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And they're like, who are these guys? Yeah.
And he cuts off a zombie's hand because he's like, oh, now I got a living hand.
Yeah.
This will get her off.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So you went from Night of the Living Dead to Dawn of the Dead. So it was still like a Romero zombie.
Yeah. And I'm not a lawyer. But if that hand is not put in discovery, like, can you bring it in that late in the trial? Can you just be like, here's a hand?
I think that's suppressed. That's suppressed evidence right there.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna work.
I mean, like, they would have to. I think you would have to get a mistrial and start all over. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
But yeah, that evidence would be suppressed.
Yeah, it's not gonna. You know what? The movie just fell apart for me. Yeah. Actually.
No, that's it.
See, that's the thing that's fun about 2.
I have no suspension of disbelief.
That's the thing that's more fun about 2 than 1, which is in 1, it's like, oh, this is a vampire thing, and oh, this is a werewolf thing. In 2, it's like Alien, Dawn of the Dead.
Godzilla.
Yeah. Oh, the, Godzilla.
A
yeah.
A very offensive the worst. Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. It's super racist.
And like...
And the kaiju looks terrible.
The kaiju looks... It's horrible. Like, it looks like a bathtub toy.
It's the worst. Yeah. It's and terrible.
In the credits, it says, and Godzilla as himself.
How dare you besmirch the name of
Look at the credits. Godzilla. It says, and Godzilla as himself.
Godzilla should have sued them and be like, take my name out your fucking mouth. That is not Godzilla. That thing was awful.
What was that last one where they're about to leave and like they're like, oh, the pods are about to hatch.
That's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, okay.
But
that's like a split second one.
Yeah. They throw in a lot there at the end. What can we say? She goes back. So she goes... She wins the trial. She's found innocent. Oh, he leaves. He's like, I'm staying. You can go. Go take the hand. Get off.
Yeah.
You know, and then when she goes through, he's like, I love you. She's found innocent. And then we have a Back to the Future.
To the Future 2, exact.
Yeah, like someone sent you a letter. You know, someone wrote this.
To be at this exact moment.
Except Back to the Future is like 100 years, and this is like 1,000 years or something. Yeah. Like, this is insane. He's like, yeah, you have to come to this courthouse at this exact moment and give her a letter.
So it is in time then?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is all his historical fact. You know, when
King Arthur, that whole real thing that really happened.
Yeah, and ghosts exist and Frankenstein does as well.
And yeah, so does, and there's black and white periods. Yeah.
So, I mean, that has to have been really recently when the zombies took over the mall.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow, what a life to live. And I thought that, like, we lived in a crazy time period.
Yeah. And
but yeah, it was the exact ending of Back to the Future 2.
But the letter says, come join me.
Yeah.
So, which is weird, which is like, why didn't she just stay then? Like, is it so, she had to go back to prove to the world she's innocent of murder? Who gives a shit? Just never go back.
What if they fall into that timeline though? And they're like, oh, there you are.
So you think they're like quantum leaping it now? Like one day they will return home?
One day. Or Sliders.
Yes.
God, remember Sliders?
I just watched like a long ass video of like the whole trajectory of Charlie, and like they kept changing the writers, and like that show, I never really watched that show, but like apparently it's a very weird, it went in all sorts of
Sliders or Quantum Leap?
Sliders. It went in weird directions. It's like that.
There was this one episode, because I used to love watching it, and they were like, imagine a world where women are the alpha or something.
What?
And they're like, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States, and it was Hillary Clinton, and it's like, could you imagine? Still, we can't.
Yeah, but yeah, it's still a fantasy, actually. Let's talk about the end credits. This is the thing that really says this ain't the 80s, this is the 90s. This is 1992, folks.
Every movie, and we had an episode on,
yeah,
why didn't we do this?
I know.
This song should have been in that episode.
So it's, I almost don't want to call it a rap song, because he's kind of just talking.
He's just talking.
And who is this guy? Has he done anything ever? Is there any hit from this man? It's doing the typical, I'm going to rap to you the events of the film you just saw over the credits. So it's almost like a, hey, here's the whole thing again.
But in rap form.
And the hook is lost in time like a bug in a jar. No matter where you go, there you are.
Profound.
Yeah. Like a bug in a jar.
I felt like a bug in a jar many times.
And they must have like had him come on. They must have had him come various days, because there's a lot of him like rapping through the many sets. So they must have been like, all right, well, what are we doing next?
Hop in.
Yeah, the next shot is this guy doing. Everyone just dance. Everyone in the background, dance. Everyone dance. You too. Yeah, dance. Everyone's dancing. He's rapping, doing his thing. You'll see. You'll see when you see
the
movie.
So did Anthony Hitchcock direct the music video too? He had to have.
Oh, God.
Why doesn't he make more movies?
What was the last film this man made?
Didn't he do Parasite? He did Parasite, right?
Hold on. Hold the phone.
I'm joking.
He did
I'm mistaking it for La La Land.
Okay. I like that there's upcoming. In 2021, he did something. Oh, he did a short.
That doesn't make any money.
He did a short called Alice. Alice, sitting under a tree during a perfect English summer, falls asleep, wakes up in a nightmare, and is transported to alternative reality and realizes that she has to kill demons and so it's Alice in Wonderland. He's still obsessed with the same themes. Okay, wait. The last feature he did was in 2020. It's called Infamous Six. On IMDb, where it usually says the summary, it says, you know what this is about? Be the first to add a plot. So he's... Amontasante's in this. Actually, I think he's worked with Amontasante. Remember like in the mid-90s, there was a lot of straight-to-DVD Amontasante movies?
No.
Do you remember Amontasante?
No.
He was the villain in the original Judge Dredd.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Because he's more swarthy Sly Stallone.
They did look alike, didn't they?
Yeah, Underdogs Rising, Breakdown, Exodus to Shang. This is one of these IMDb's where it's like, these are names. I think he does straight to Redbox movies.
Oh.
It's got to be, right? Oh, my God. Amontasante. Stormcatcher from 1999, starring Dolph Lundgren.
See, that's the problem.
He did a bunch of Dolph Lundgren movies, too.
That's the problem with streaming, because the success of these movies were, the movie that you wanted to rent isn't in, so, but you're here at the video store, so you might as well pick this one up. You know, like, that's where these movies would be successful, but, you know, everything's always available all the time, so you're not going to watch the other movie.
Yeah. God, I'm trying to, like, pin down, what was the last, like, real thing he did? In 1995, he did a movie called Payback. But again, I've never seen this. But it's
not the Mel Gibson Payback.
No, it's not. He kind of went right into Warlock of the Armageddon. Yeah, he's kind of...
He needs to make a comeback.
He does stuff, I guess. I mean, he might be... I guess he's paying his mortgage. Mm. He has 6 things in his upcoming.
Is any of them Waxwork 3?
Sadly, no. Oh. Sadly, no. It looks like he does shitty action things.
Who doesn't these days?
Yeah. So,
if there was a Waxwork 3.
Yes, sir. And
you have jumping from genre to genre.
Mm.
With a J, genre. Genre. What, since 1992 to 2025, what would Waxwork 3 be?
Well, here's the thing, and I will get to your premise, but let me say that in our contemporary world of crossovers and IP things like, you know, Space Jam 2 and stuff, there wouldn't be parodies. He'd just go into things.
Yeah.
Like, he would go into Spider-Man. He would go into whatever and actually meet those people, and it would be a cameo fest.
Yeah.
But if you were to make a low-budget Waxwork 3 right now, you'd have to hit whatever the big things were over the last... since the last one. So, like, maybe a Lord of the Rings?
So you wouldn't go horror. Well, I guess, yeah, Lord of the Rings, because that would be pretty much the same thing as this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't go horror. If there was truly a Waxwork 3 right now, I think they'd go into, like, a Lord of the Rings world at some point.
So you don't think he'd be, like, chased by Art the Clown? Or Pennywise.
Oh, if you were doing horror, not Pennywise, probably more Art the Clown from Terrifier.
Or like the It Follows thing.
Yeah, yes. he would meet Long Legs.
Oh man.
I wore my long legs today.
Yeah, like, that's the other thing about, like, this came right at the end of, like, 80s slasher. So...
Oh, maybe Ghostface. Like, he'd go in, like, he'd get a phone call and be Ghostface. Like, what's your favorite scary movie? Like, that would be fun.
Yeah.
But,
like, there's no more, like, real monster movies. Like, or iconic monsters. You have not had one in, like, 30 years. So, what monsters would he fight?
Right. Fuck, yeah.
Like, that's... No wonder why there hasn't been one, really.
Yeah.
Because I can't, like, you know, you think of everything else. Everything was Alien, Predator. Yeah.
It's surprising that Part 2 doesn't have any Star Wars. That there's no Star Wars scene or whatever. Like, he jumps into, like, a fake X-Wing.
Or, like, they go into one portal and instead of swords, they're fighting with lightsabers.
Yes.
Like, that would have been a ground ball.
That would have been, yeah. That's, obviously, it's right there.
Yeah, maybe Harry Potter or something.
Yes, actually, more than Lord of the Rings, it'd be Harry Potter, yeah, for sure. And there'd be like a fake Voldemort.
Yeah.
It's funny is that there's no attempt at actual time. There's no, like, let's meet George Washington.
Yeah.
Let's meet, you know, Einstein. Like, no, let's meet people that are pretend people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I actually think that this kind of premise would be more popular today. Because I think we have more of an appetite for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they're probably, if it's true, well, because that's probably why they're doing Stay Tuned. Imagine doing that now. People love that shit.
Yeah, because you want to retcon things or, like, yeah, you want to go back, you want to have, like, a revisionist history of something or something. You know, like.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not more so with this than with Stay Tuned.
They go to the pandemic and he has to fight Dr. Fauci.
Or I go to the pandemic and learn close-up magic like I wanted to.
I know. Is that really what your pandemic thing was? Oh, man,
I really wish I did, but I went to work.
It's never too late.
I had to leave the house.
It's never too late to learn close-up magic.
Oh, I have so many fake thumbs, Mike. That's all close-up magic is fake thumbs.
See, I always think of it as cards. It's all cards.
Mm.
It's all, you know, your gambit. I guess there'd probably be a lot of superheroes too, right? Because that's the biggest thing in our culture now.
Yeah.
So he would go into a Star Wars thing. He'd have his own, like, bootleg BB-8, and then that would follow him throughout the movie.
You know what Waxworks 3B? It would be Patton Oswalt's Star Wars filibuster from Parks and Rec.
Yes.
That
yes.
would just be it, because like he does go into Star Wars and in the Infinity War.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah.
So that's it. That's Waxworks 3.
Yeah. But no, it would be really great. Like, if they did one of these Lego sequels and, like, took it really fucking seriously, and it's like, we meet Zach Galligan again, and now he's, like, an old man with, like, gray hair and, like, a gray beard, and he's fucking, he's been just fighting through time, quote-unquote time, for, it's been 40 years for us, but really for him, it's been, you know, eons.
Yeah. Because
I imagine you don't age in that world, in Cart, what's it called? Cartesia?
The phone died. I can't go back
Cartesian or something, and it's just like super serious, and it's like, you know, he's jumping through like seven like as gritty as you can get. It's shit like that.
He's in the well in
oh yeah, he's in Parasite. He's like all this despair.
He's in like Buffalo Bill's well, or he's in the well from The Ring. The Ring, there it is. You got The Ring.
She's gonna call through the TV. He's gonna like kick her and stuff.
You know what I just realized? You know what Waxwork 3 is? It's Cabin in the Woods.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's really what it is. Cabin in the Woods.
Yes.
Great, great movie.
Yes, it is. That is a great movie. No, we never did. That is a fantastic movie. That's a fun one.
But again,
I used to show Evil Dead and that in. Film class.
Oh, cool.
Actually, I shouldn't say used to. I once or twice taught a genre class, which was the most fun, and I showed them together.
Yeah.
And I think I also showed like the woods and Snow White sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were just getting to the idea of like the woods is scary or whatever.
Yeah.
But now the next time I teach a film class, I'm showing Waxwork too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just like a crash course in 80s genre.
Yeah. You would have to know all these things, but I think a young film buff would be like, okay, that's Alien, that's whatever. Mm. You know, I think if there's a failure here, it's that the last thing isn't more, it's too, its own thing. Like, it's not really King Arthur. It's not really The Princess Bride. It's not really Zelda. Mm. It would be better if it were more an actual thing. But the problem is, like, you don't want to slip into, like, not another whatever movies, like all those like horrible spoof movies.
Oh yeah,
like like Not Another Teen Movie was kind of good, but then there was like all the
epic
ones,
movie, yeah, Meet the Spartans,
yeah, and like those straight to fucking, again, straight to like Redbox movies, yeah, that somehow like would get like Leslie Nielsen to be in them.
Yeah,
like you don't want to do that.
Still, he's in them.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing too. I mean, not to give this movie credit or not to give this movie credit, but like, even though there's comedy, like, it's not spoofy.
Hmm.
It's not like, ha, let's make fun of.
Yeah, the joke's not in thing. The vignette. It's more of the, like, physical comedy in it. Or the.
Yeah. It's not like, ha, ha, look, it looks like a thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's.
Me being goofy in that.
Yeah. It's so weird because it is supposed to be a fantasy world. So they could have easily just been like, we're going through stories or whatever. And like why? Why call it time? Why put the word time? Was there some executive that was like, you know what's popular? Back to the Future pitches.
Mm.
We ought to say they're going through time.
Well, you made two references to it. Like you had the drunk from Back to the Future 1 and you ended it the same way as Back to the Future 2. So
that's true.
So yeah, time was hot at the time.
That's true. Time was hot. Yeah.
You know what Henry said when we were up in Pennsylvania?
I thought he was going to say he saw this film.
No, he didn't. He looked outside. He's like, rocks are really popular in Pennsylvania.
That's such a funny thing to say. And he's, where's the lie? He's telling the truth. They are really popular. Rocks are really popular.
Same as time is hot.
Yeah. Well, did this movie hold up for you?
Yes.
How long has it been since you've seen it?
It's been about 20 years, but.
It's still.
I do see its shittiness. Like, yeah. they're like, the effects suck. Like, they are bad. Like, let's call it what it is. But boy, is it fun. It's just fun. I love movies that are like levels. Like,
yeah.
You know, like The Warriors. Warriors is very much like a levels movie, like a video game.
Yeah.
And like, that movie is one of my probably top 10. This isn't one of my top 10 movies, but like, again, it's like to have things like progress in stages, I love.
If this movie had been made like 2 years later, they would have actually like Jumanji style like went into a video game.
Yeah.
It would have been kid, what's that?
Oh, Captain N?
Captain N. It would have been that. Because it sort of is that without, with this weird other conceit.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's what the Spy Kids movies are. Like one of the, like, I think it's Spy Kids 3D, the one with Sylvester Stallone. Is that it's like Kid Chameleon? Remember Kid Chameleon?
Yes,
it's the plot of Kid Chameleon.
Yeah, I saw Spy Kids 3D at a unofficial midnight showing, meaning because back in the days of film, you used to have to run it. You used to have to run it,
mm-hmm.
Just to make sure it was all going or like it was all clean and could run. So I had friends that worked in a movie theater, and so like when the big movies would come out Thursday night. After the theater was closed, they would watch movies. So it would be just the people who worked there.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you couldn't, but they would invite friends. So it was like private. So like in the early 2000s, I saw a lot of things before they were really out, just watching them the night before.
Oh, that's so cool.
In like private things. And we watched Spy Kids and then it broke like at the end. And we were all so happy that it broke. We were like, thank God this
Nobody should see this movie.
We were like, this is... We were just mocking it the whole way. We hated it.
Well, you're not the target market, Mike. No.
I liked Spy Kids 1. I thought it was really inventive. But by the time they got to 3, it was just like, he was just making it on his computer.
Yeah.
It was just a long weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to thank you again for bringing this...
I had a lot of fun.
...movie into my life. I enjoyed it. You know, any other weird suggestions you have... Go ahead and do it.
Okay, I will. I got plenty.
I'm for just, you know, we're past 400 at this point. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you already did Troma, right? Or did you just do the Toxic Avenger?
We just did Toxic Avenger.
All right. I think that's what's coming next. That's going to be a grand opus one.
Bill, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again.
Look, if you threw a party and invited everyone you knew,
yeah,
I will not show up.
Oh.
Because I would get anxious.
I understand.
I'm not good in big crowds.
I get it. We end every episode by saying...
Go bye-bye.